we start off by singing, I was once in darkness, now my eyes can see. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me.
I was once in darkness, now my eyes can see. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. Oh, what love He offers, oh, what gifts He gives. I will sing forevermore till He lives. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah.
Everything to me, he's the first of 10,000 to my soul.
I found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Light shall
most of us in here know James Wallace. He's been, I don't know if he was taken or self-admitted into hospital, but he's not well, so he's not in maybe trouble in the mind and that, but we'll just remember him in prayer this evening. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We realise, Lord, that that name is a key, Lord, to unlock the door, Lord, and we thank you that we have access by one name, through one Spirit, into your presence, O God, and by the blood and the merits of thy precious shed blood, we come boldly into your presence. And Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that you will indeed hear from heaven and answer prayer. Lord, hear from heaven your throne, while we pray from your footstool here on earth, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord God, you'll be met of us and heard of us, Lord, as we seek your face this evening. Help us, Lord, as we are gathered here to concentrate upon you, Lord, and to come to give you thanks, Lord, to give meditation of our hearts to you, O God, and to give you praise and adoration for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you that you've saved us and washed us from our sin. We thank you, Lord, that you took us off the path of sin and despair, Lord, and on the road to destruction. We thank you that you lifted us and you turned us around. Lord, we were once heading southward, but Lord, now we're pointing northward. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we're being called unto you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that indeed you've cleansed us with your own precious blood. And Lord, we have made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, you've made us kings and priests unto our God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist David says in the psalm, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we have boldness to come to your throne this evening because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives. And Lord, what a blessed, privileged people we are to say that we have been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ on our account and on our behalf. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, this evening for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for a place to fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for a day we would come aside to pray. And we thank you, Lord, for this assembly. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ you'll bless each person that comes here, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless them with an anointing to draw them onto your own precious self. I pray, Lord God, you'll put a hunger and a desire in us, Lord, to seek your face, Lord Jesus. Lord, to expect more than what we are saying, Lord, to fall in love with you afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, you'll settle love within our hearts, that we'll be thinking about you all the time, and that your praise would continually be in our mouth. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray, Lord God, you'll set a desire about us, Lord, to see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in fire. And I pray, Lord, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit upon each one in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, you'll put it in people's hearts, Lord, to have a hunger and a real desire for more of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this world, Lord, offers so much, Lord. It takes up so much of our time. But I pray, Lord God, you'll help us to be disciplined, Lord, that we have set time aside, especially when it comes to the weekend, Lord, and midweek, that we make time for service in the name of Jesus Christ, that we make time for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even at home, Lord, help us to pray always in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you this evening for this man, James Wallace. Lord, the man needs a touch from you. You pray, Lord God, you'll touch him in his mind and touch him in his body in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll grant him, Lord, space to repent. Pray, Lord God, you'll take a dealing with him, Lord Jesus Christ, that he'd call upon your name for salvation. We rebuke the works of Satan over his life, Lord, for indeed he would surely try to kill him. Lord, that's his work. He's a thief, he's a robber, and he's come to kill and to destroy. But Lord, you said that I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Oh Lord Jesus, that people would realize that you alone are the life giver, and outside of you there is only death. There is no hope for any man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, that people would know, Lord, that you are the only source of rescue, that you're the only source of salvation. You're the only source of hope and good news and goodwill. Lord, as it was said when you came to this world, Lord, the angels announced glad tidings of great joy. Lord, because, Lord, there was good news to tell. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that people will know this good news, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that the penalty of sin will be real in men and women's lives, that they will come to you, Lord, to have the penalty removed in the name of Jesus Christ. For your word says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray, Lord God, you'll strive with James Wallace, Lord, that he'll call upon you for salvation, and you'll touch his mind, touch his body. Lord, help him deep, Lord, and come about his right mind. Lord, touch his memory, and Lord, whatever's wrong with him, Lord, undertake for him in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And help us, Lord, always to be about your business. Lord, help us, Lord, to live our lives to the full for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be a powerful witness wherever we go. Pray, Lord God, for the children, Lord, over the summertime, Lord, you'll help them, Lord, to go to different places and camps, Lord, that they'll be a witness for you and that their lives will be a living testimony unto others, that will bring conviction to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and I pray, Lord God, that other young people will look toward them and see, Lord, what Christians are and what Christians do, and be convicted and be turned to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray, Lord God, you'll anoint them, Lord, as they play their instruments in this place. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost, Lord, will anoint them, and that you'll brood over us, Lord, by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. And anoint everyone, Lord, who prays. Anoint everyone, Lord, who would actively lift their hands to worship you, Lord. Those that would, Lord, in their heart, Lord, worship and adore you. Those who would even get behind the pulpit, Lord, to preach, Lord. Anoint each one in the name of Jesus Christ. And bless the ears, and bless the ears, and bless the hearts in the name of Jesus Christ that want to receive from you. And Lord, help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to be expecting great things from you. And we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we sing that little hymn? We sang it last Sunday, I believe. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
If your body's Service in the name of the Lord. We're turning to the book of Acts, and as we turn to the book of Acts, the Lord bless. Just to remind tonight, we have to set the chairs to the side and lift the mats because someone's coming in on Friday or something. So if anybody can stay behind afterwards, give us a hand. Praise God. So the Lord bless each one. Don't forget to pray for our brother Mark and family. The Lord bless them as they're on holidays at the moment. Give them a real good time. It's good to get a holiday, isn't it? Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I won't get all said tonight. Well, probably no night, but maybe Sunday morning I'm thinking I might continue with this. Samuel's going to preach Sunday evening, but Sunday morning I might continue because there's a part in this tonight. I want to give time to read a portion of scripture, just take my time with it. But I want to share 8 facts that Peter declares in the book of Acts. And last week we saw one of them, which was the sinlessness of Christ. And I want to continue on tonight. There's 8 different things that Peter continually preached through his whole ministry, through the book of Acts. Let's read verse 22 of Acts 2. just for reading, and then you can be seated. Praise God. Acts 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need or want prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and God bless you, God bless you. God knows every need, and the Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. We humbly come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we know of our own selves we wouldn't be worthy, but Lord, we thank you tonight for the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, that you have imputed to us your righteousness. We weren't deserving of it, Lord, but you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus has everlasting life. Father, we thank you for this life tonight, for this imputation of your righteousness. Lord, I pray you'll wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us afresh. In the precious blood of the Lamb tonight, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost tonight. Take the Holy Ghost right now. Lord, you know every need in this house. Every hand raised, physical, spiritual, mentally, financially. Whatever it may be, we bring it before you and ask, Lord, you'll meet every need in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray again, and we say amen to what's been prayed for James Wallace tonight. Have mercy upon that man, we pray. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll spur him and raise him up to strength again, Lord Jesus. Open his understanding and his mind. We rebuke the devil over him in Jesus' precious name. Father, just have your way, we pray. Have your way in all of our homes and all of our families and all of our children and wives and husbands, nephews, nieces, and relations, Lord, that's still outside of the kingdom. We claim every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Save the lost, heal the sick, and restore the backslidden, we pray. For we know that you are coming again. Father, have your way tonight amongst us. Speak to us and move amongst us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. It's maybe cheated. Praise the Lord. Just something interesting. Maybe you've seen it, but Keith Malkison from Limerick City. And how many enjoyed the testimony Sunday? I tell you what, it was really a wonderful testimony. And I knew it was Paul. I've heard him speak in the streets, in the open airs, on way of YouTube and things, and I saw a couple of clips of him preaching as well, and I knew he's a real good lad. God's really moved on him, and he's some testimony. But Keith's preaching on the UFOs, unidentified flying objects. He wants Brother John's testimony, and I managed to get the link on the Brian's website, and I have the clipping from years ago. And Brother John went to England to the Brothers Fellowship and shared his testimony back then. And what I know, that picture that was done out for John's testimony for that service in England, I was in a meeting when Sidney Thompson prophesied over John. Now, I don't know if John remembers it, but I can remember it. He prophesied over me and Keith Malkison in another meeting as well. We were very young, and what he said came to pass. Sidney Thompson, and he said that John, he mentioned the Wellington boots and the farming and everything, and the Wellington boots was in that picture. That picture was like what he said in his prophecy. Now he wouldn't have knew John or any of them things, but he prophesied it, and he was a brethren man, but he was a brethren man that got the baptism. And when he got the baptism, the brethren didn't want him no more. And when they did the missions for the brethren, they got a few saved. And when he got the baptism and done the missions, he was getting double saved. Not well, the Lord was. I tell you, we need the Holy Ghost, don't we? But he was a great wee man. I used to have I made a tape, I'm sure it's somewhere, but it really was inspired from him where he quoted different scriptures and healing and stuff. And then one time I made a recording that's somewhere, maybe it's on the website, the Talking Bible, all scriptures and healing. But that's where the inspiration came from, that wee man. Because I had a wee tape of him years ago, and he did some scriptures on healing. And I believe if you hear the word of God, you can be healed. For he sent his word and he healed them. So it'll be interesting to see what Keith preaches on that. And you know what Keith's like. He goes into everything in big detail. That's a ministry. My dad gave him a word just outside in Tondagee Hall. He gave Keith a prophecy outside. And Keith said it was no time till that came to pass. And it is happening, what he told him. And God's using Keith. And he didn't think, you know, he heard his testimony at the time. He went through a tough time. But the Lord has a work, has been using him, praise God. So you might be able to see that somewhere online. If I see it, I'll post it up. But the second thing, the first thing, what I showed last week was the sinlessness of Christ. And these is eight facts. The first one is the sinlessness of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only man born of a woman. And he was born. He was born. Remember, when I say that, Adam wasn't born. This is why I'm saying it. And Adam had no sin. So when we talk about a man with no sin, Adam, when God made him, he had no sin. Adam had no sin until he disobeyed. He had no sin to that point. So, and Adam wasn't born. Adam was made. But the Bible says Jesus Christ made of a woman. He was born. God used the Virgin Mary and Christ came forth. But he is the only sinless man. He is born without sin. Now you know the scripture and we know what original sin is from the garden. We know that. It's one of the end time mysteries that God has made known. So we know what the original sin is, and we know when the Bible says we're born in sin, we're shaping in iniquity. So every one of us, before we do anything right or wrong, we're sinners. The Bible's absolutely clear. It says we're sinners by nature, sinners by birth. So we're sinners, but Jesus Christ was born sinless. So that's the first thing. The second thing is his life's ministry, the perfect man. So he's sinless, and then he's the perfect man. And he was approved of God. The Bible says Jesus Christ was approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Approved by God. Now, isn't it strange when God does miracles today, a lot of people say that's the devil. But yet with all, Jesus Christ was approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, miracles, signs, and wonders are hot, and it's not the devil. Because God works the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. But Jesus Christ was approved by God. God did them by him, through him. Never had God worked through any other person in any other dispensation the way he worked through his only begotten Son. Because he wasn't just a man, but Spurgeon called him the God-man. God was in him, and we know that God was not in him in a measure, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was approved of God. Never had God worked through any other as he did his only begotten Son. Not Moses, not Elijah or Elisha, or none of the judges, and they saw wonderful things. They did wonderful things. But remember, God worked in them, but none of them can compare to the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them. None of them could compare with the ministry of the Lord Jesus in word, in deed, and in a claim. Because Jesus Christ's claim was, I'm the Son of God. Now you know that's why they wanted to stone him to death. They said he's made himself equal with God. He's made himself, didn't they say that? They wanted to stone him. But he had the right to the claim because he was what he said he was. God was not just with Christ in a measure, but the fullness. Acts 2:10-38. Let's read Acts 10:38. And I know we read it a lot. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, William Branham's ministry is a good ministry for the use as an example for what I want to say. You will hear William Branham saying, he's come now, anything can happen. How many heard that? Now you know God's coming on the scene, we believe that. And he says, anything can happen. The secrets of your heart, you can't hide them now. He's here. But the Lord Jesus Christ had that 24/7. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus Christ had that 24/7. It wasn't that it came to him. God was in him in fullness. Not just a matter of it coming to him, but 24/7 he knew it. Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. That's what he said. Before you ask, I know what you're going to ask for. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The man that wanted prayer, and he says, I'm not even worthy. You come under my roof, speak the word. And he spoke the word, and the same hour servant was healed. Now, Brother Branham was used of God to do things when God came to him. But then he also said, I can do nothing till he comes. Nothing till he comes. But Jesus didn't have to wait because God was in him all the time. You understand what I'm saying? He says, I do cures the day, miracles of tomorrow. I cast out devils with the finger of God. He said, the kingdom of God has come amongst you because it was in him. It was in him. Not in the miser, in the fullness. He had power. Jesus had power also that he could deposit on other people. Are you hearing me tonight? He breathed on them even before Pentecost. Before the day of Pentecost came, Jesus breathed on them and the Holy Ghost came mighty on them. And they went out and cast out devils and all sorts of stuff. And they came back rejoicing. And he said, don't rejoice at the demons and so forth, subject, but your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the most important thing, to be born again. That's the most important thing. Healings, miracles, revelation. Casting out devils and demons. The Lord Jesus had power to do it all. He did it like none other. You know, the man, people call him Legion. There was a legion of demons in him. He, the man of the Gennesarets. You know, there's two cases. If you study your Bible carefully, there's two different cases. There's a case for there's two men. And there's a case for there's one man. And I believe it's two different cases. But that's not important tonight. But the important thing is Jesus healed them all. He healed every one of them. And them demons knew him. They knew him. Now you think that power, God has shown us that power in the 20th century. God has shown us it. Now you think when William Branham was on the platform and that lunatic came in the service and he's going to kill everybody and everything, and the power of God came on as wee prophet, just a wee small man, and he says, he'd fall over my feet. And he pinned him. He says he actually pinned him where he was. They had to lift him off his feet. He fell right over him. He couldn't even move himself because he pinned him right there where he was. You look it up and you'll see it. And I know it. I know what I'm saying. But I'll tell you, that was when God came to him, when God permitted that to happen. But outside of that, but the Lord Jesus, you think of it, had that all the time. All the time. And you think William Branham says you don't know what it is. People think they want these gifts, but they don't understand. He says, you don't know how that, what it does to you. Then you think of the Lord Jesus all the time. But he was specially made, wasn't he? Amen. Specially made. He was God in flesh. Now the third thing is crucifixion. Now these are the facts. This is the third thing. This is what Peter continually brings out, these facts I'm giving you. And I know we know these things, but it's good what we hear them. This crucifixion, Jesus, the crucified man. So it's Jesus, the sinless man, number one. Number two, Jesus, the perfect man. And number three is Jesus, the crucified man. Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was God's foreknowledge why Christ came. God had a plan. God's redemption plan didn't start 2,000 years ago at the cross. God's redemption plan started before the foundation of the world. And the Bible has a scripture that says he's the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world by the mind of God. So God had a plan and a purpose, and God knew everything that was going to happen, and God already had set something in order and a plan. God had something to counteract every step of the devil. And maybe you're worrying tonight and you're troubled over different things, but I want you to have hope and rest and confidence tonight that God has a plan already. You might know it, and he'll counteract every work of the devil. And you say, might do it for me. No, he will. Because the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your paths. And God cannot deny his own word. Why? Because he's been denying himself, for he is the word. Amen. And he never has to change his mind about his word. It is perfect the first time. That's another thing. Jesus never had to change any statements and things that he made or said. They never had to be altered. But every one of us, perhaps, could come at a time and say, look, and maybe it wasn't just right and this or that. Even William Branham, when he preached them scenes, he made a further recording in the room after the service to correct some things. Now you know that's the truth. And then you know the story over the Church Age book. Some people said it's thus saith the Lord. He said it. He said it in one place. It's thus saith the Lord. Then other people say he would never have it given out if he knew. There's different stories about it. But there's one thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fact. This is fact. Amen. So we don't swallow everything. Now we believe that God did send an end time message. We believe that. But we don't swallow everything that comes under that name. Because you can't. You must run it back to the absolute.
Amen.
Which is the word of God. That's where it has to come from. It's not the other way around. This is the absolute, the word of God. Now here, him been delivered, God's determined counsel, God's plan, counsel, foreknowledge of Calvary. God's seen it all. The human side, man's lawlessness and wickedness was also fulfilled. Now you know there was the lawlessness that people took him and they spat on him, they did all them things. God knew all that was going to happen. There's a both sides. But remember, no matter how you look at it, it was God's doing. Acts 13, verse 26 to 28. Acts the Apostles, chapter 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear of God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. So isn't this amazing that they heard the voice of the prophets read every Sabbath and they still did not know the Lord? Well, what were them voices of them prophets pointing to and speaking of? The Lord. That's the exact same today. You could fill a place with people and preach the gospel to them for 50 years, but they'll not all get saved. There's only one. Look, whosoever will we know will come. But at the end of the day, God knows who's going to come. It's the foreknowledge of God. And here these people heard the word of the prophets. They heard the message. They heard it. They could say we hear the message every Sunday. But they heard it with this. But they never went in here at all. It's except the Spirit of God reveals it to us. Amen. When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves on you to get saved. No man cometh unto me except my Father draw of him, and no man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him. It's a work of God. Isn't that amazing that it's the work of God? For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So the Lord Jesus Christ, they couldn't find one fault in him, but they wanted him killed anyhow. It's not like the world today. Look at the nations. Look at this country and England. Let's have a look at it for a moment tonight. There's men been arrested for preaching the gospel. And there's people doing all sorts of stuff and nothing seems to happen. It seems to just be brushed under the carpet. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be. We're living in the last days. That's the days we're living in. So he's a perfect man, a sinless man. And I'll tell you, he's all of that. And he's a crucified man. And number four, he's a resurrected man. Now I might even pass this point tonight, and I won't, because the time's gone. I didn't even realize the time. But this is important, this part. This is really important, this part. Let me just give you some scriptures. I have lots of scriptures in this tonight. Acts 2, 24 to 32. Whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither would thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did he see corruption. This Jesus of God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. So the Lord Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. That's the strength of the gospel. The strength of the gospel is that Christ's not in the grave. Buddha, Muhammad, name them all. You could put a list all over this wall tonight and put all the names on it, but they're still in the grave. They're false religions, but Jesus Christ is not in the grave. Amen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the apostles and Peter preached this as a message. They continually preached it. And Paul preached it. And that's part of the gospel. Now let me go with you. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to try and read some of this 1 Corinthians. And I wrote here, don't go past this, because I could rush past it and just tell you and not read it. But I believe it's important to read it. 1 Corinthians 15. Now the central fact of all Pentecostal sermons is a resurrection. You might say, why? Well, you're going to see why in a moment. For on it hangs all the previous and the following facts. So the resurrection is so important in the Bible that Christ rose from the dead. Now let me read you slowly through Corinthians, and I might say a few things, and then we'll pray after this, the Lord willing. Verse 1 from 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. First of all, he says, how that Christ died for our sins. And you see, somebody had to pay the price, just like in the Old Testament. A sacrificial lamb had to be offered to pay the price for sin in the Old Testament. And here in the New Testament, Christ has died for our sins. Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God that has died for our sins. But let's keep reading on, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Now this is why your Bible is absolute, and this is why we need a Basileus for this King James Bible as well. There's some other Bibles, some of them's all right, but some of them's not all right. But you know, with this Bible, it's been proven. God has attested to it. God has backed it. God has proved it for all these years. So that's the Bible they have. It's God's Word. God's infallible truth. The Word of God's so important. So much that the apostle says, according to the Scriptures. So when somebody says, oh, but you're always quoting the Scripture, because they did. Because they did. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but of some are fallen asleep, they're going on to be with the Lord. So not only did the Lord Jesus Christ raise from the dead, but there's for your 40 days come in. He went amongst them for 40 days before he ascended. Amen. 40 days showing himself amongst them. He was alive. He was well. The two on the road to Emmaus, talking away. They didn't even know it was him. And then he opened up the Old Testament and preached unto them. And then he made himself known to them. He revealed himself to them. Think of that. There they were saying he a stranger in these parts and so forth. Didn't know him. And then he revealed himself to them. Then Thomas wasn't there and he says, I'll not believe it. And except I feel the nail pricks and so forth, I'll not believe it. And the Lord appeared again. And he says, Thomas, go on ahead. There you are. Feel the nail prints. And be believing and not doubting. Is that the Bible? Then you can go into the book of Psalms and you can read when he comes back again to the Jews. And the Jews will say, tell him, how did you get these marks? And he says, in the house of my friends. He has nailed, not in his wrists, the Bible says his hands. Nail prints in his hands and his feet. That's the lovely Lord Jesus. Verse 6, after that he was seen of them, above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of season. Now you know Paul's talking here because Paul wasn't with them original 12. You know, an old brethren man, they might hear this tape. You'd be surprised who listens to these meetings, I can tell you now. Because I have brethren connections. But it'll do them no harm to hear the truth, brethren or not. We're the real brethren. I don't mean the name, you know, but we're brethren. Jesus says we're brethren. But one of them said to me, he says, Brother Tom, you just don't understand the dispensationalism. I says, Brother, could you enlighten me? And he says, I can. And he says, there's no more apostles after the 12. And I says, there you are. Now I knew I had the answer. And I says to him, now before I answer you, are you sure? Or do you want to phone a friend? Or ask the audience if it were? You know, he was so sure. Because that's what they're taught. They are taught dispensationalism stopped. You know, they're taught even further that the Jews get a different message than we get. That's false as well. They get the same Pentecostal message we get. And they're sealed. Now, you cannot be sealed by anything other than the Holy Spirit. They're going to be sealed as well. I said, are you sure? And he says, yes, yes. Why would it not be? And I says, well, that's a weak argument. And he says, why? I says, Paul wasn't with the 12. But I says, he met the Lord in the Damascus Road. And I says, not only did Paul meet the Lord in the Damascus Road, and not only was Paul not one of them original 12, but I says, special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And the Bible says he's chiefest of all apostles. Now, you know, if you do a study in the book of Acts, there's about 18 prophets in there. That I'm not talking about the apostles, because I've done it. You will be surprised. What about Agabus? Takes Paul's girdle and binds him, prophesies him as a prophet of God. See, we must rightly divide the word of God. Amen. And we believe in the 20th century we've had a prophet, don't we? And we believe in apostles as well, and we don't work. And there's been evangelists as well, Billy Graham. Real evangelists. So we definitely believe in the fivefold ministry. And that's just a few, there's many. There's been prophets in this country as well. There's many men of God still today. I believe that. Look at this verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, this is the resurrection part, the importance of Christ's resurrection from verse 12 here. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain? You see, this now, I haven't time tonight, but you know, for this throws you into Hebrews. For it talks about the death of the testator. That the testament is a fact of after the death of the testator. And you can line that up into Hebrews and read it. And then he could swear by no greater himself by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. But let me read you on this, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, if Christ's not raised. So you'll never go to Pentecost or anything if you don't preach the resurrection. The resurrection is part of the gospel, and it is a fact that Peter preached, as Paul preached, that every apostle preached. And it's really important. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So if Christ never raised, there's no hope for nobody. That's what he's saying. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if you're living for the Lord just for now, and there's nothing hereafter, we're miserable. That's what he's saying. But this here life's nothing compared to what's coming. He realized this is only a moment compared to what's coming. Amen. You think of the Lord says it 1,000 years like a day. And we're going to have eternity with God. Now look at this order of this resurrection. And we're going to come and pray in a moment. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now you know the first fruits. That's the first fruits from the harvest. to show there's more that is to come. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't that some verse? We're all dying in Adam, but we're all living in Jesus Christ. Because Adam is of the earth, earthly, but Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. And as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And you see, the earth's from the ground, but the Lord's from the blue, from the heavens. The heavenly man, not the earthly man. Amen. Praise God. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ that is coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that did put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now I'm going to have to close because the time's went. But I'm going to have to close. But isn't it wonderful that we have the resurrection? And Christ rose from the dead. And not only did Christ raise from the dead, but because he raised from the dead, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Amen? In the one, think of the book of Acts. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go up shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Amen. He's coming again. Now, not just the spirit form, but the Lord Jesus Christ, we will meet him in the earth, the Lord himself. And we will be changed. Now, whether it's in our lifetime or not, whether our body's in the grave or whether we've already went on, those that's went on, the graves will be open. Those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not wonderful. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Pray for a time tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We know that your word is an absolute. It's a tie post, an anchor. We thank you for the truths contained in the word of God. And in your Bible, your truth. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to study, to hear your word. Help us to live it. Help us to live a life worthy of the gospel. Help others to see Jesus in us. Help us, Lord, to have an effect in a good way upon other people. Forgive us our shortcomings, our failures. Cleanse us and wash us in your precious blood. Lord, I do ask for the backsliders tonight. Father, you know each one in hearts and minds. We pray for every one of them. Restore them. Bring them back. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I'm asking you to bless all the nurses tonight, the doctors tonight, your own people, Israel, tonight. Bless them. Those that's in authority, bless and grant wisdom and guidance, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord this evening.